Good morning, church. It's always good to come Sunday morning, worship our Lord, right? We have a loving God who always keeps us blessing us and always gives us the things that we need and the things that we are not deserve, but he always presents to us his blessings because he's a loving God as well. It's good to see everybody here. It's good to see a good number. And like I said, if I haven't say hi to you all, here is my chance to say hi. And it's good to see you. And it's good to, again, be here with the church here and working with you all and the young kids as well. We need to continue continuing your prayers. Dale, as he is holding a meeting, and is it Caldwell, Ohio, right? Yes, he'll be out for till Wednesday, I think. Yeah, Wednesday. So continue praying for him that everything goes well in the gospel meeting as well. Continue praying for the Elrod family and the Malott family as you know, we the loss of Sister Sharon, and you know, the great example that that she was in the life of many and in the life of church members and everybody that she encountered as well. Caleb, is there a milk? As we look at our Christian life, I'd like us to look at the idea. Sorry. Thank you, Caleb. As we look at our life as Christians, I'd like us to look at the idea of when duty becomes our desire. Our text, let us read our text, if you would. Let us turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 10. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 10. If you would, let us open our Bibles. If you haven't been there, that'll be our text. Because finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make," says the Lord, "when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took him by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I discarded them, says the Lord." Verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel and the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Here the Hebrew writer is talking about, you know, that new, the covenant, the covenant that the Israelites had with God, and it was, as we know, in the Old Testament, we follow the history of the Israelites and the things that the Lord had shown them and the love that the Lord had given them. But there's a sense of them that they did not appreciate it, or they didn't want it to have that special relationship that you could have with the Lord. With that idea, let us think about when our duties become our desire to serve the Lord as well. The need is always there and constant in urging people to perform their duties. You know, we perform, in our daily lives, we perform duties, right? We're expected to go to work. We're expected to do things in our daily lives, right? For us that are married, you know, that honey-do list is always, you know, expected of us to do things and perform our duties as head of the household as well. The reason that people sometimes they don't do their duties are because of not the desire, you know. When I was a little kid, I was always assigned, or it was my duty, to always clean up, you know, the dishes after dinner and you know, clean up after dinner. But, you know, when I was a kid, I was like, you know, it kind of annoyed you or kind of bothered you doing it. But then after a while, you get used to it, you know. And at the house, sometimes I, you know, it just comes natural to you, you know, whenever you see dishes or cleaning up, you know, that you take a certain assignment. So usually that is my assignment. It comes, you know, a desire to, you know, you see the things and you're like, okay, I'm gonna go ahead, I'll clean the dishes, and you know, my wife will do something else. So again, it has to become our desire to do things, and it works the same way as Christians. When duties become our desire, little urging is necessary. As Christians, we don't need to be told the things that we need to be doing, because it needs to become a desire as a Christian. You know, it's not an obligation that, of course, I'm not here to, you know, punch in my time to do, you know, what I need to do as a Christian to worship the Lord. You know, we're all here willingly to worship the Lord and to learn more about the Word of God, but, you know, it's not an inconvenience for us. It's a desire for us to be here and to please the Lord. Again, this lesson is designed for us to remind us the importance of how these two things comes together, how it mesh our duties with our desire, how it goes together, you know, how it comes together, not just, you know, they're not separate. First, I would like us to look at four things. Let us start with God wants his law written in our hearts. We see that throughout the Old Testament, God's laws was written in the in stones rather than in people's heart. Matthew 15, verses 8 through 9 tells us, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So we see that, yes, they came up to Jesus and worship him, but basically their heart wasn't into it. They were just, and again, when they're referring to heart, it's not our palpitating heart. When the Bible refers to that, it's our mind, it's our state of mind, it's our being there. It's our interaction of how I'm attentive to what the Word is saying to me, you know, presence in the worship. And then we see here that Jesus telling them that, you know, they're just more obsessed with the teachings of doctrines, the commandments of men, meaning that, yeah, they're like, they were so analytical, and it's like, according to this, this is what the law says, you know. And then the Lord there was trying to tell them, you know, yes, I know that the law says this, but you need to do this in a different way. Matthew 23, verses 23 to 24. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe, mint, and anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strained out to a gnat. Never mind verse 24. The idea here is that, you know, the Lord is trying to tell him, you know, you're not trying to be, you know, doing the strict with the law, but, you know, pay attention. You're thinking that just doing this or doing your own part or doing my time card, my time in, you know, it's only the things that you need to do. But no, you're basically forgetting the main idea of being, you know, about the justice and mercy and faith. These are to be done. This is more important things to be done. You know, another, again, and it's kind of inferring and saying about you know, the way I want to worship the Lord, you know, they were not worshiping him, or they were not following him in the right set of mind, the right set of mind that you need to do it, you know, willingly and in becoming a desire. Today, God demands his law to be written in our hearts, to understand that. Again, the state of mind that I'm here to worship the Lord, no matter who is preaching, no matter who is in charge of the worship service, I'm here to worship the Lord, because that's our main thing here. That's why we gathered every Sunday here, to worship the Lord in a way that he wants us to do that. Our heart needs to be such that we desire to do God's what God wants us to do. You know, what God wants us to do in our lives, the changes that needs to be done in our lives, that the things that he instructs us in our Bible, that the things that he instructs us to do in the scriptures that we read of. But we need to know that, you know, it needs to be a desire for us. Secondly, we need to know that this is the way to a happy and fulfilling life. Someone has said that the way of happiness is to keep our wants few and simple. And again, don't get me wrong. Sometimes as humans, we desire to, you know, we have goals in mind. We have things that we want to accomplish in life. And I'm not saying not to do it. But the problem comes whenever I put those things first in my life. And then in my spiritual life comes faded. And it's fading off slowly. You know, that's when the problem comes. I'm not against people having, you know, things and trying to accomplish things in life. I mean, we all accomplish things. We all, you know, go through schooling or have special things that we desire to learn, and we're good at it. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. But again, the point is that when it comes an obstruction with the way I worship the Lord, the way I want to you know, in my spiritual sense, in a spiritual life. Again, and this is in our spiritual you know, we see this in our lives. We want to be accomplished. We do things in our daily lives, but here we're talking about the spiritual sense of how is my relationship with the Lord? How is my desire for it? So, you know, keeping our wants few and simple, okay? That's the goal, and not, you know, trying to accomplish or trying to make it a stumbling block in our spiritual life. There's a better way to a happiness is to keep our desires within the bounds. Again, like I just said, within the bounds of our God-given duties. So we know what God wants us to be at, then we should accomplish them. We should do that. Sometimes this can probably serve as a pretty accurate, if we sit down and make a list of things of our personal desires, this sometimes can make us analyze and see where we're at spiritually sometimes. How many are our wants and what, you know, the Lord wants us. It can probably serve as a pretty accurate gauge and measured, you know, our happiness and where are my priorities at. If it's more, you know, weightier, the things that I want than what God wants, then there's a problem there in the sense of, you know, I need to do what the Lord wants me to do. So, you know, we have to be careful in that aspect. And I know we live in a world that, you know, we're always going at it. We're always, you know, it's a fast pace, and you know, it's hard sometimes to stop and to realize and say, okay, what I need to do to please the Lord, and what are my main things to you know, accomplish. Thirdly, I'd like us to look at God's will was Christ's desire. We see that God's will was Christ's desire. Every desire that Christ had was in accordance with God's will. Okay, John chapter 8, verses 28 to 29. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Same way as Christians, we need to do those things that please him. If Christ was the ultimate example in our lives, then we should do what God wants us to do and to please him and to do the correct things as Jesus have done that, as John expressed to us, John 8, chapter 28 through 29. John 14, verses 9 tells us, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you along, and yet you have not known me?" And this is a question that Philip asked. Know me, Philip? "He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father?" See? Sometimes, in the case of the apostle here, they were trying to see, let us show me who the Father is. And there it was in front of them. He was, he was doing all these things and training them training them to preach the word and to do the things he was an example to them. But they were still thinking, where's the Father at? Where, and then here Jesus telling them, if you haven't seen that, why you ask, show me where the Father is. So we should not be, we should have God's desire in our lives to do like Jesus did in his life, that Jesus' example that he did. Fourthly, how can my duties become my desire? Well, first, by realizing that it's possible. It is possible to the duties that as Christians that we have to become our desire. It is possible if we put ourselves in that mindset by first realizing that it's possible. Anything is possible, right? Anything is possible we do in life that we accomplish and that we set forth. You have a plan. You have a plan in life, and you go through it and try make sure that you try to accomplish every single aspect of it. Same way as the Christian life, it is not difficult to accomplish the duties that become our desire to please the Lord. We can see that example from the Apostle Paul. How he make it the center of his life, Christ. How he made the center of his life, Christ. If you would, let us turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 9. Here the Apostle Paul tells reminds them of certain things that he had done in his life. And there's a couple key things that I would like us to look at. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 9 tells us, "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so." Okay, and he starts explaining how I have confidence. Well, verse 5. "Well, I'm circumcised in the eighth day of stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning the seal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me? These I have counted a loss for Christ." Okay, see what he's going with it? He had counted all these things that he had done, he has counted the loss for Christ. Yet, verse 8, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So see, the Apostle Paul gave us that great example as well, as you know, he made the center of his life Christ. He made it whatever accomplishment, because he was an accomplished man. I mean, he had done things. I mean, he had a good resume, but he realized that without Christ, and without putting the center in his life, you know, putting Christ in the center of his life, that those things were, you know, that it was no accomplishment. You know, those things were rubbish. He tells us here the importance of the duty to become the desire, to desire Christ and to put it into our lives as well. Galatians 2, verse 20 tells us, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 tells us, and then we sing this as in a hymn. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we are in debt with Christ, the things that he had done, because he had loved us first, because we were sinners. We need to realize that we are sinners and that we need Christ in our lives. So we need the importance of it, that, you know, that everything, whenever we come in the water of baptism, we are crucified with him, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in us. So we need to reflect Christ in our lives. And you know, that can become our duties, become a desire. Next, we can practice our duties, whether we want it or not. You know, and sometimes we need to change things in our lives. Sometimes we need to build or build spiritual things in our life, and bring some things down that we're not supposed to reflect as Christians, believe whether we want it or not. But you know, we need to practice those duties. We need to practice the duties of being a Christian, of being a Christian of faith. That you know, anywhere I go, that I reflect. We need to read. Let us read what the Bible tells us of what we may know our duties are. What our duties are. If I don't read what my manual says, you know what I mean? If I'm putting something together in life, I mean, you know, everything you buy or whatever, you know, whatever you put together, a computer or a bed, if you don't read the manual, you don't know what the pieces, what pieces go to what, and what screws you need to put in that. Same way as a Christian, we need to read our Bible, we need to read our guide, so that way it becomes our desire, the duty becomes our desire, and then we practice, and we don't have to be reminded every time of what we need to do, because we find it here in the Bible and is our guide. But we need to read it. We need to open it. We need to have that in our lives. Again, with the prayer assistance as well. We need to pray to God and ask him what is to help us. As Psalms 51:10 tells us, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. And that should be the prayer of every Christian. Renewing the heart. Whenever I'm down, whenever I'm sad, whenever things don't align with, whenever things don't go the way it's supposed to go, we need to have that prayer of, you know, renew me, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit with me. Not just get, you know, beaten down and just, you know, looking down and just be stuck there, but you know, continue on that steadfastness, that things are going to get better as we move, and as the Lord continues with me. So we need to understand how can that duties become my desire. I mean, we're desired to be here because we're Christians. We desire to be here because we want to do what the Lord wants us to do. He wants to be worshiped in a godly manner. That's why we're here. This is our desire. We're not here because we're just punching a card or just doing our time. Don't ever think about that. Don't ever put that in that mentality set. We're here because Jesus has done something for us, and he has done this, and he has given us, you know, the righteousness to that we can be righteous with the Lord, and that we, you know, that we owe that to him. But it's not just like, I just want to be here and I'm just doing the acts of worship because I need to do it. No, we cannot have that attitude. That desire needs to become that duty that I have as a Christian to worship him needs to become that desire. That desire that I always want to be there in church, that I always want to implement the things that I need to better myself as a Christian. Because we do that in our regular life. You know, we do that. That's why we get evaluations in our work, right? That's the reason we get sometimes people that evaluate us and says, hey, you know what, Carlos? You need to improve on this. You need to improve on that. You need to, you know, escorting, and then they give it back to you, right? Of course, you know, the Lord's not going to come down and you know, just start evaluating all of us. But there's that sense that we have that in ourselves, that we can come and evaluate and say, okay, you know, I need to work on this circumstances in my life, and it becomes a desire to do better, to be a better Christian, to show others the way as well. So that's the thing there. That's what's implied in that sense as well. With determination, and God's help, our duties can become our desire. With determination and God's help, our duties can become our desires to do what he wants us to do. When that happens, we will find life so much more fulfilling, and serving God will be so much more meaningful and joyful to us. It's not just that I have to be here and I have to do, you know, the worship and that I have to do every Sunday or Wednesday, but no, there's a joyful, I'm seeing every brethren here and seeing you all here. This fills me as a Christian, fills me up and builds me up and encourage me that all of you are, you know, all of us are here to worship our God and to, you know, talk about the great things that he have done in our lives. And even though if I had an awful week, but just seeing you all here encouraged me to, you know, continue on this fight and continue on the steadfastness and continue on in that desire to be a better Christian and that desire, you know, not just to be worshiping here, just to come, but the desire of there's other brothers and sisters with me in this boat and they're going to help me to go to heaven. What you must do to become a Christian? Well, a couple steps. You need to hear the word. This is what we've done right now. We just talked about what God wants us to do and the desire of what God, our duties becoming our desire. Well, our duty as a human being in life, in this world, is to become a Christian. You need to hear the word. As Romans 10, 13, and 17 tells us, you need to believe the word. You need to believe the word. You need to repent of the things, of the sin. You need to realize that I've become a sinner, and how do I need to do it? Well, I need to repent. You need to confess publicly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he came for me. He came for me to try to make things righteous in the sight of him. And we need to be baptized. And again, after that, you need to live faithfully. All these elements that we see here, friends, we need to understand that needs to be present at the time that we become a Christian. It's not just that we can just take all these out and then just do whatever we want to do. No, all these elements that are mentioned here needs to be present and then to become a child of God. And we encourage you to do that. We encourage you to understand and do the and understand the importance of that. And in doing so, that would be our duty as a Christian, and then it will become our desire in life to do what he wants us to do. Let us stand as we sing our invitation song.